You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Such a dramatic sound at the start of every hour. I like it. Gets me fired up for the next hour to come. And after this show, I got to bring up our schedule. I'll let you know what's on after this in a minute. But we got, I assure you, it's loaded with tremendous content. But it is going to be, I know the producers are on today. Is it Fantasy Bagels and Baseball next? Is that what's next, Pete? Yeah, so that's with Tony Cincotta and Cha-Cha. The very own Cha-Cha. So,
this is really a must listen.
Depending on your type of entertainment, I would absolutely say for some people it is a must listen. You should always listen to Tony Cincotta.
The over-under on cuss words is what? 10, 15 from Cha-Cha in an hour show?
In a one-hour show, yeah,
he can't,
12.
I mean, he was on for a segment with us and he couldn't keep it down.
I think it's 12.
He has no filter whatsoever. Yeah. I'll take the over.
Because you're going to get like 3 to 5 in one sentence at one point. So you know you're going to have that buffer. And then, you know, you just got to piece in like 8 more swear words or so for
and
the
you
next.
Know Tony's not reining him in.
No, Tony's just going to let him go. It's going to be a. It's going to be
Tony's,
fun.
Tony's putting gas on the fire. Yeah.
It's also a 2-hour show, so you get double the action.
Two hours.
Oh, yeah, like now it's 20.
24.
Over under 20.
Yeah. We'll probably have to. Probably have to hedge it a little bit. So 20, the over under on swear words there, and then after that, it's Fan Rag Fantasy Baseball with Al Melchior. Is that right? And then the producers from. Pete, what time are you on? 1 to 3?
That is correct.
All right. So I finally got it right. So 1 to 3, and then it's Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey Parson, Fantasy Basketball Weekly. Some of these are replays, but it's okay because you might not have had a chance to listen to it live. Corey Parson, then we got Fantasy Basketball Weekly with Mike Florio and Frank Stanfill. The Weekend Fantasy Update with Joe Galina, Mike Florio and Frank Stanfill. Out of Bounds and Mike Cardano and Friends. That is sponsored by SportsGrid.com. Fantasy Footballers with Andy Holloway. Mike Voigt and Jason Moore, Mike Wright and Jason Moore, sorry, and then Fantasy Bagels and Baseball and Roto Experts will continue through the rest of the day. So a lot of good content, Fantasy Bagels and Baseball next with Tony and Cha-Cha. So,
I like a bagel.
Yeah, I'm kind of hungry myself. I don't like talking about food while I'm on air because I got nothing.
Sesame. But, what's your favorite type of bagel, Mike?
My favorite type, and I've sort of backed away from it. It's definitely not good for you, and I've had some inconsistency. But
Mike,
the French
no bagels are good for you, Mike.
This is fair. French toast bagel, though, when they do it right, is sweet. Ooh. Have you ever had one of those?
I've never had one of those. I'm a fan of the everything egg bagel, but I've never had a French toast bagel.
The French toast bagel is something
to
behold.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, they do it like they do it nice. It's like sticky with sugar on it.
Is this a Rockville Center thing?
There is a place near me that does them great. But the two places right near me do them really well. And there's a place out east where I go, George, like in way out in Long Island, that does them. So I don't think it's exclusive to my town, but it is, they do it nice. I'd say that's my favorite, but I don't really get it that much. If I'm going kind of every day, I do mix it up. I for many years I didn't eat bagels because I was like they're not good for you, and now I've just mailed it in on that. So I'll go sesame if I'm just buttering it. I will go.
Oh, I love sesame.
And then I'll go if I have a little time to kind of prep it, or if I'm out at a place and I'm getting it on the go, I'll do cinnamon raisin butter grape jelly. That's my move.
I did miss bagels.
Do we toast our bagels, guys? Do we toast them?
I like to. Yes.
It depends. It depends what I'm getting. I do kind of like getting them hot out of the oven like everybody else, but I don't like it too toasted. That's the key. Mm. Lightly toasted.
Yeah,
for me.
I'm with Matt here.
Well, if you're in the place, they're usually warm or hot. So in that sense, I don't have to get it toasted. I just like if I'm at home and I've gotten a bunch and they're day old or they're a little later
right.
in the day,
if
I'll toast
day
them.
Old,
up.
Then you need to toast them. Yeah.
Or if they've cooled down from the store or whatever. So, George, what's your go-to?
Sesame. I'm a sesame. I'm when it comes to food, I'm pretty much a plain guy. But sesame.
He's the plainest food guy I've ever met. It's unbelievable because
no one's talking to me.
You are actually talking to me, but the. You are so consistent in this. I am not at all shocked. I appreciate that you went sesame instead of actually plain. It doesn't surprise me.
I drive
me.
My wife nuts.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I will only eat the plainest thing. You know, I don't like too much spices.
Yeah.
You know, they drive me insane. It's just, it really gets to me. Even too sweet can bother me. So, yeah, I'm a very plain guy. Sesame.
You would not like the French toast bagel then. You'd be out on the French toast bagel. It's pretty sweet. There's a lot of sugar going on.
But when I do a bagel, I don't want sweet.
I get it.
I pretty much want... I want a bagel.
I tell you, you get and a French toast bagel, it'll change your life. That's what I'm telling you.
I'm not going to put syrup on a bagel.
Well, I don't know how they do it, but they do it, and it's
if I want French toast, you know what, Mike? I will get French toast.
I'm just telling you, you have the best of both worlds here, George. It's, you know, sometimes you gotta expand your horizons, and I'm surprised you went sesame instead of actually plain. But so you're not toasting
plain
it.
Plain would be number two.
Cream cheese or butter? What are we going here with your everything bagel?
Butter.
All right. Yeah, me too. I'm not a cream cheese guy. I don't like it at all, actually, so I don't put it on anything. So that's where we're at. So now I'm starving for a bagel after the show, and you'll listen to Fantasy Bagels and Baseball with Tony and Cha-Cha. So
I'm glad you're hungry. Hope your stomach's grumbling.
Yeah, well, you know, these things happen. It's the life of the radio host that's on air for 3 hours. And the irony is that we actually broadcast from a restaurant. I'm looking at a buffet of people eating croissants.
I know.
And this guy's going
eggs and bacon.
This guy's going town on hash browns right here. What is this? There's a 7-year-old kid over there. He's eating better than I am. So anyway, we'll deal with this after the show. Nobody wants to hear me bitch about this. So. Moving, but I was actually going. It's interesting that you went to the bagels route because I wasn't going to go to baseball here. I would, since we talk about movies and shows all the time, I got to get a sense of what Matt is watching outside of sports. You know, I would cop to really being primarily focused on sports for all my television watching, especially during football season. There's too much to watch. I'm watching all of it. I don't even really work in any shows during football season. So I'll ask you, when you're not watching baseball, when you're not watching videos and all that kind of stuff, breaking stuff down, what are you watching? You worked in production, so you obviously have an affinity for film and TV, right?
Yes, I do love movies. And with TV, it's kind of tough. I kind of like the HBO Sunday night was pretty much strong every year. Game of Thrones, I'm a big fan. I've read all the books. Mad Men was probably my favorite TV show.
Now we're talking,
time.
George. I have a compadre here. Just as such a beautifully done show, right?
Matt, are you watching Walking Dead tonight?
Walking Dead, I started watching the first season and I moved and I just never got back into it.
I actually have heard that The Walking Dead's first season is a little on the
weak
side.
Scott Engelswald, listening, you're now fired.
I'm out on Walking Dead. Mad Men I watched religiously.
Yeah, right now, I'm trying to think. I don't have a show that I gotta honestly say I love. I've been watching some of that Taboo on FX. It's a Ridley Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
And who's the guy? The actor? I forget his name. Tom Hardy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Is that a series or?
Is it like
a limited edition thing? Because it seemed odd to me that two guys like that would get involved in a television project.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a limited edition thing. The acting is great. It's well produced and stuff. It takes a little time, but now I think we're reaping the rewards of the show.
Yeah, there's a new HBO series going to be coming out, which is a limited edition series based on the novel. Was it Little Big Lies, I believe, with Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, and a huge cast, Shailene Woodley. My wife read that book. She loved it. And I actually think that is going to be a show that I can watch with my wife. We have very disparate tastes in TV and movies. So I'd be excited to watch that. I am currently watching Westworld, though.
Oh, Westworld, too. Yes. Working. Westworld was awesome.
Obviously, I'm rewatching it. You know, I'm a little behind. But thanks to HBO Go and all that kind of stuff, I'm watching it. I'm like through 7 or 8 episodes. So I'm getting near the end. I just had the huge twist that happens in that series. I'm not going to spoil it for people that don't watch it or plan to watch it. But
everybody dies.
No. Well, that's true, actually, about the series in general.
I don't know. I don't watch the show. I have no idea.
Yeah, the show is about a fantasy park, a sort of old West park, that being the West part of Westworld, created by this guy, and they have very lifelike androids, I guess, for lack of a better term, that are called the hosts of the park. So they are taking you through your journey and can do whatever you want. Some of the stuff is pretty dark that people do, like murdering people and getting into shootouts and all that kind of stuff. And as a person that pays a lot of money to go to this park, you can't be injured or hurt, and that's a common theme throughout it. In any event, it's a fantastic show. I recommend it to everybody. So George watches The Walking Dead, he watches sports, and he watches he just discovered
that's
that
pretty much it.
He just discovered that Deadpool 2 days ago has a guy that had superpowers. He didn't know, despite not having seen the movie. I knew all of this going into the movie. Like, I kind of get who Deadpool is going in. George discovered it as he turned on the TV. He's like, whoa, this guy has superpowers. I didn't know. Does it shock you?
Listen, I think if somebody would tell me it was a good movie, and I got it. I didn't know what it was about. Do you know what every movie's about?
All right. I'm just saying, the guy was wearing a suit,
and
a
I
red
liked
suit.
It.
Like, what did you think? He was just hanging out in a red suit? Like, it was a fashion statement? It was very obvious you were going to watch a movie about a superhero of some sort. You can call him whatever you want. He's a superhero. He has superpowers, right? George is saying he's not a superhero.
He said many times during the movie that he's not a superhero.
Because he's got an internal conflict
many
about
times.
It.
Well, speaking of superheroes, I don't have kids, but I did go to see the Lego Batman Friday night. And it was just excellent. I recommend it.
Really?
With or without kids.
Whoa. Let's stop right here. You don't have kids, yet you went to go see... Where's Tony Cincotta when I need him?
Me and the wife thoroughly enjoyed it. Will Arnett is Batman. Will Arnett makes that movie. He's
I will
phenomenal.
Say, you are not alone, because judging on my social media feed, a lot of people I know went to see it mm-hmm. because... Well, the original Lego movie people thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, no, that got great reviews too, the first one.
Is it? It's not really, I mean, kids can go see it, but it's not like a kids movie, is it?
It's not. They do say, I really don't pay that much attention, but being that I don't have kids. But
sure you don't, yeah,
but,
sure
but they
you
did
don't.
Say to the point that I think it was like language, maybe, there's a little couple, I mean...
It's a PG movie, yeah, not a G movie,
I do
right?
like animated movies. Like Fantastic Mr. Fox, I think, is such a tremendous
well, that's
movie.
That's a great movie. Yeah, that's a I Wes mean, Anderson movie. I so, love those
yeah,
movies.
That's like
so.
One of the best ones they ever did. Yeah. But I mean, I enjoy them. I enjoyed like,
I mean, Fantastic
know,
Mr. Fox versus like Lego Batman movie, there's a huge gap there. And
it's but you for the Lego Batman movie, you're going, the dialogue is fantastic. Like I said, it is Will Arnett that yeah. makes the movie. Yeah. And it's... You know, we were laughing the whole time.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So that's good. Sure.
You know, I'm going.
He's
out
not
with
going
my
to like.
There.
He didn't go later to on. See Finding Dory, okay. George.
I'm going out with my friends later on today. If I were to tell these guys, hey, Friday
he
night, I went to go see the Lego. I don't care who you're going with. All right, I have kids, and if I said I went to go see this movie, I would be crushed. It would be 10 hours of let's just beat the. Crap out of George.
I would have went solo.
I would hear every joke in America. Oh my God.
I might have thought it was weirder, but I gotta say, I had a few friends that are kind of like, are you into comic books in general? Those types of movies?
I'm a huge Batman guy.
All right, I
do not recognize the Joel Shoemaker Batmans though. Those were horrible.
Terrible.
Those,
yes. Those, yeah. Those terrible movies. Yeah. That was the.
But otherwise, I'm.
Those are the Val Kilmer ones, right?
Yeah, Val Kilmer,
Clooney,
Arnold Schwarzenegger,
yeah.
Mr. Freeze,
yeah.
And
Chris those O'Donnell worked his. Chris yeah. O'Donnell worked his way in there. All right, so we got a recommendation on the Lego Batman movie. I know you think it's weird, George, but I don't think it's like he went to see a rated G Disney movie. It's not weird in that way. I think the Lego Batman movie has some adult appeal. And I'm not into the comic book stuff, and I'm not into the superhero stuff that much. I did see Deadpool. I did like it. I do like the Batman movies generally. Even some of the Christian Bale movies that people don't love as much, I still like some of those as well. And who's Batman now? Ben Affleck is Batman
yeah,
now.
Yeah, Batman
right?
versus Superman.
I didn't see
horrible.
That one. Yeah, I've heard horrible. Very bad things about that.
That was the idiotic thing. There's no way Superman could kill him 38 different ways before they even met each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that just destroyed me.
Yeah, I heard it was so bad. It is one of the, you know, every once in a while, recommendations or lack thereof can get the better of you. That has gotten the better of me. It was on cable last night. I easily could have watched it for a little bit. I turned on, I wanted to watch Warriors Thunder anyway, so I just watched that. But I don't think I'm going to like reserve any time to do the Batman Superman thing. So, all right, we'll talk more about movies next, and maybe we'll get to this Pittsburgh Pirates story that I wanted to talk about sometime before 10 o'clock. Mike, George, and Matt back after this. Welcome back. Mike, George, and Matt here on the Roto Experts in the morning until 10 o'clock. We're yelling at each other about movies and movie choices. So, all right. So we did a little bit about what you're currently watching, what you just went and saw. George saw Deadpool. What did you think of Deadpool, Matt?
I liked it. I mean, I know a lot of people really liked it. I thought it was good. Enjoyable. Yeah. Good cable movie.
I actually liked it more than I thought I would. I think it's because I'm not against the superhero movies or the comic book movies. I just can't, like, some people are so into it, I just can't get on board. I don't need to watch the third reboot of the Spider-Man series. Like, I'm good. I got it. You know what I mean? Yeah,
that's like...
I got it. You want to do another Spider-Man movie because it works for you financially in Hollywood? It doesn't work for me anymore from an entertainment standpoint. I'm done. I don't know Peter Parker's background. I'm not going to go back and read comic books about it. I'm good. You know what I mean? With Deadpool, I go in with a little bit of a bias. I'm like, is this going to be a comic book movie where I need to know the guys? I can't remember the characters. Wade something. Is his name Wade Davis?
I forget. I know he was like
Wade Wilson. Wade Wilson.
Wade Wilson. Wade Wilson. Yeah,
yes. Vikings quarterback.
Next Vikings quarterback.
It's but that's his character's name in Deadpool is Wade Wilson. So I'm like, do I need to know Wade Wilson's background and all this stuff? But you know, Ryan Reynolds is good. He's really funny in it and he kind of engaging. And you see the goofy way in which it all kind of came about for him. But plus, you know, the female lead in that movie, it's not so bad. I mean. She improves it by a full point and a half if I'm ranking it out of 10. I'm just saying.
But she's been in a couple of things, though. She's in she was in the remake of V. She played
she's on Gotham.
She's on Gotham now, which I think she's on. Was she on Homeland too for a while? Never really watched that show. I think she was there. I forget her name, but she's definitely got a look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's got it going on in that movie. So. Anyway, so Deadpool. So let's just talk movies for a second. So what is your genre of movies that you're going to see? Obviously, you don't mind an animated film. George is going to beat you up over it. I'm not. I'll watch Ratatouille right alongside you. I find
Did you go watch special. Trolls too?
No, Trolls I did not.
Trolls is a kid's movie.
I did not partake in.
That's a kid's movie. I don't think Lego Batman is a kid's movie. I don't think. But
sure.
I don't think it's rated G though. I think they have some kind of parental kind of thing that was mentioned.
Like I prefer not to let my son watch PG movies. He's only 4. There's some things that could scare him or frankly I don't want to have to explain to him. So, you know, I got to keep
him
down.
Oh my god,
G.
Suck it up.
He's 4, dude. He's got plenty of time to learn all this stuff. I don't want to do it right out of the gate. So he can watch Ratatouille. He can watch Finding Nemo. If the Lego Batman movie scares him or whatever, I don't want to deal with it yet. You know what I mean? That makes sense? George?
Sure.
No? All right.
Sure.
He's not on board with me. So, all right. So what's the genre of movie, Matt, that you're going to go after first? Like, what are you into?
I like good dramas, like more like real life gritty kind of films. I'm not like the big Hollywood blockbuster, you know, like
based on your Mad Men taste, I feel like we might be in the
did
same.
You see Star Wars, Matt? Please tell me you saw Star Wars.
Of course. I thought the Star Wars was good, okay. But that week, I watched it that Friday night.
You're talking about Rogue One?
Rogue One, yeah. And then Saturday and Sunday.
No, I was talking about A New Hope.
And then Saturday and Sunday, I watched A New Hope and Empire again, and it's just amazing how awesome those movies were 20-something years ago, even more 30 years 40. Ago.
20?
40.
Yeah. I want to go 40.
Well, I don't know. I was born in something. I saw them when I was a kid. Yeah. But, I mean, they are just so much better back then, and that's the whole point I took. I said I thought Rogue One was a good movie, but if you watch the other ones, it pales.
Got it. From a storyline perspective, I mean, obviously the effects are going to be better. You can't compare that.
The effects are, you know, they don't have the same effects. It's just the storyline, the actors. I mean, maybe it's because that's what I grew up on and stuff. You know, I recently found my Star Wars figures from back in the day, and besides Han Solo being, I think we burned off his feet, but besides Han Solo, everybody else is in good condition.
Wow. I still have... thought carbonation was rough.
I still have most of my Star Wars figures. We think we sold a few over the years, but like passed a few along to my nephews, and I think we still have them in storage somewhere.
I was looking on eBay. They do fetch a nice dollar.
I probably should do something like that, but it'd be cool to pass a couple down to my son, you know, when he cares
about
it. My nephew mistakenly gave him, like, I had given a few to my nephew, like he had a little box of them, which I was totally fine with, and then he was so excited to give them to my son, his cousin, that he gave them to him like 2 years ago when he was two. So he immediately ripped the head off of one of the 40-year-old figurines that I had. I was like, you know what, this is not the right age for him. Can we just put him away? And I'm not so attached to it, you know. I wasn't thinking about trying to make a buck on any of them, but I was like, you know, I did save these for 40 years. Let's not give them to the 2-year-old so that he rips the head off in the first 30 seconds he has them. So, all right. So, drama. So, what is a movie that you saw recently, other than the Lego Batman movie, that you would recommend? Whether it was an older movie or a recent one.
I'm trying to think. I've been pretty down on the movies that have come out recently with Hollywood.
What'd you say, George?
Was there a Moana or something like that?
I'm
busting Charles trying to.
Oh, Moana, the Rock.
I mean, Rogue One, I thought was good. I mean, I enjoyed it, but like I said, after watching the other two,
Lego Batman movie better than Rogue One in your mind?
I gotta say, I think I enjoyed it more.
Wow. Where do you rank?
Okay. Now you're definitely fired now, by the way.
George, I had you rank
the... Scott Engel is typing up the email as we speak.
I had you rank the Star Wars movies, George, and I think you slotted... What did you have it? You had it episodes 4, 5, 6, then 3...
Then Rogue.
Then Rogue. That's right. You had it 4th overall.
So I would have Rogue all 4th, then I probably would have gone... I'd be close between, I can't remember what the...
Three, Sith. Revenge of the Sith is three.
Sith, and then the...
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens, the Solo gets killed, and the first two, I don't know, Clones 1, and then the Jar Jar Binks disaster.
Yeah, episode 1's like kind of unwatchable. But, I mean, the Ewok one...
Episode 2 I find to be the most unwatchable, the Attack of the Clones.
The Ewok one, I don't think... When I was 10 and I saw it in the theater,
yeah,
it was great.
Yeah.
When I was watching it recently, you know, I mean, I liked it, but it didn't have the same. I would put Rogue One maybe.
Over time, Jedi has really lost a lot of credence with even Star Wars fans. Like, they really downgrade it quite a bit. I put Empire Strikes Back first as the best, and then New Hope.
It probably is overall, but the New Hope, just like the story, like Obi-Wan and, you know, everybody meeting. But overall, as for like a sequel like that, and like Godfather 2, like, you know.
Yeah, and Aliens, right? And Aliens, you'd put that in there too. So I have to see Rogue One so I can appropriately rank these. But I guess I'd have to really think about it too. Revenge of the Sith was really good. Is it better than Jedi? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think it was.
Yeah, when I was watching it, like I said, it was, even the special effects where they're flying through the trees, yeah. I was like, eh.
Oh, it's a little wonky. Well, yeah. I mean, it's 30-year-old technology, 34-year-old technology, so I suppose it's not going to be all that great. So, all right, so there you go. So you saw Rogue. I got to see Rogue One. I think that's what's come out of this segment. I really have to go see that.
You haven't seen Rogue One?
No, dude. I can't get to the theater. I can't.
So I got one guy who hasn't seen Rogue One. The other guy who loves Lego Batman.
Well,
I finally feel superior.
I mean, I'll try to find a time to do it.
I think you should take the kids, George. I think you're going to come back really liking Lego Batman.
Yeah, your kids are old enough that they can do it. I know the little one has a fever right now, but... Why don't you do it? Why don't you suck it up? You can use the excuse of going with your kids and then actually take in the movie with an open mind.
What I did learn this weekend, though, is 4D in Manhattan is like $30 a ticket. I didn't go see the 4D one. I wound up seeing the 3D one. But 4D is supposedly you're experience, like in the movie, they say, but I don't know.
It's like a 4K situation, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
So, George, you're...
Listen, the wife and I have watched a lot of movies. We've watched, what, Magnificent Seven, Suicide Squad, John Wick, Pete Considori Survives Again. And what was the other movie we saw here? Another decent one. Oh, I guess Deadpool, which we already talked about. And I saw Rogue One. I'm actually kind of...
yeah, you're doing all right.
I'm
kind
of proud.
We go in spurts. Yeah.
I did really enjoy John Wick when I saw it on cable. I don't know if a sequel was needed, but
I would agree with you there. But
that was a good movie.
I don't know if I'll pay to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
I do have a friend who owns a movie theater, so I don't have to go pay to see it. And I got my niece a job there, so I can eat for free, too. So I got that hooked up.
That's not bad. That's not a bad hookup right there. I mean, ultimately, when it comes to something like John Wick, they just look at the bottom line, right? It made this. Mm-hmm. It cost us this. It made this. Let's do this again.
And what will they make in pay-per-view and all that
kind
of stuff.
Right. So, yeah. And the list goes on of revenue streams. But... so we'll see. We'll see what I can see next. I'll try to do the Rogue One before it gets out of theaters, which it's probably approaching that point now, but I don't even know how well it's doing. I'm sure quite well. But we'll continue our race towards me trying to catch up on movies, try to catch up with you guys to some extent. I guess in the weeks ahead, I'll try. Maybe we should do like a segment each and every week where, and Matt will be with us in future weeks. Maybe we'll do a segment of what have I watched this week or what have you watched this week, and we can recommend something. You know, it's a good thing, George, that you have your wife will watch some of these movies with you. Unfortunately, my wife, she doesn't have a wide range of things that she's willing to watch. If it's a romantic comedy, she's 100% in. And if I know, I'm out. But sometimes I just have to watch one just to have something to watch with her. She loves this show, This Is Us, which is on NBC right now, which I've gotten recommended to me by multiple people.
Never heard of it.
To find a show. Like I try to find shows. I quiz people. I ask people. I poll people as to what can I watch with my wife. And everybody answers This Is Us. I'm like, we're already doing that. It is a dramatic show on NBC, which I don't love because there's like three concurrent storylines each and every week with huge dramatic twists and turns every week, which is not reasonable or realistic. And I just think the show is going to fall apart soon because it's too hard to keep up with that style of writing. Fair?
Well, you know, Matt mentioned Game of Thrones. And I love Game of Thrones. I'm right there with Matt. But, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when I watch a TV show, generally I'm working. I'm writing. I'm doing rank, whatever, answering questions, whatever for Road to Exodus. Always working. But Game of Thrones, you need to sit down. You need to watch. You need, like, a pen and pad because you have to write down all the 18 storylines of who's going on, what between what Lannister and what, you know, who's fighting who, who's on whose side here, where are the dragons, where's the, you know, it's very tough. So I'm not used to sitting down and paying attention to a show.
I actually, like I said before, I read all the books, and that's kind of confusing too. And then they start like changing the storyline a little bit. But yeah, no, Game of Thrones, what they were able to do production-wise, it's really amazing. And
it was a show that when it was previewed, I was like, I'm going to love this thing if I can get a chance to watch it. And that hasn't been the case. And I had kids during the time when the show came out. And really the only time I can sit down and watch TV ever is after everybody goes to bed. My wife turns in early. I just sit there and I get an hour. And 8 times out of 10, I fall asleep in that hour when I'm trying to watch a show. I did last night. I sat down. Nice adult beverage in my hand watching Warriors Thunder, and I'm like, this is going to be great. Everybody's asleep, and I'm just going to see how this goes. And I fell asleep in the first half. So that's usually what happens. Westworld, I can maybe squeeze in like 40 minutes, and then I'm out, and then I got to watch the next 20 minutes on HBO Go the next day. Anyway, let's talk some baseball in the next segment. We'll turn this barge around and head towards 10 o'clock.
What's this baseball you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I'll talk movies for the next 3 hours if you guys want. But and then I'll get really, like, my movie snobbery will really come out if you want me to do my all-time rankings and talk about how great Pulp Fiction is and the two Godfathers and why Godfather 2 is better than Godfather 1. We can get into that if you like. So let's take a break here. We'll do that in a minute, and I'll talk about this pirate story coming up on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. We are headed towards 10 o'clock, about 20 minutes to go. We've been talking movies in the last break. What would you rank as your... I'll just keep talking about it now, and then I'll talk about the Pirates. What would you rank... I'll go George, you first. What would you rank as your all-time greatest movie?
All-time greatest, you I'm going to have to go...
And you have to separate the two Godfathers. I often think it's kind of the same movie, so you can keep it together, but you got to separate them.
I'm not... Godfathers wouldn't be in my top 10. Jesus. I like them, but not in my top 10.
We are not on the same page here, buddy.
It is, why? Because they're number 11 for me? Yeah. Isn't this why the same thing about why certain fans get so upset about their teams? Because, oh, you don't have Tom Brady ranked number one overall. You have number three. Like,
well,
it's
if it's 11, we have ground to walk on. But you've quickly dismissed it out of your top 10. So
I think it has to be in the top 10.
Yeah. I don't see how it's
number one for me would be Jaws.
That's good. It's a top five for
Jaws
me.
Jaws is, yeah. Jaws might even be number three.
Yeah. I would put Jaws in the top five. I'll go Godfather. So what's your number one?
It would be between one and two. Which one do I like better? That's so tough.
I like the flashbacks a lot in two, and I think the Cuban storyline is pretty interesting in Godfather 2.
I do love that they've been showing it. They
not
show
pretty
it,
interesting. Fascinating.
They show it like once a year. They do it in like chronological order. That's pretty cool to watch.
It's like
that.
7 hours.
Yeah, no, it's
7 hours long. It's
like
hard to
get
do.
Get like an Italian hero for the day. You know, bury yourself in.
HBO was doing that. They were doing like the Godfather chronological thing, and I was like, God, I wish I didn't have a family for this one day and I could watch it all. But I would go Godfather 2, Godfather 1. I usually put them together, so it doesn't matter. But then I go Pulp Fiction and. After that, seven and Jaws. It's probably my top five.
Yeah, Robert Quint in Robert Shaw as Captain Quint in Jaws is one of my all-time favorite characters.
Yes,
he's just amazing.
Yes, so you would put one of the Godfathers as one or two,
and Jaws would. I mean, every Jaws time it's right on. It's
put down the remote. I'm good.
Yeah, that'd probably go number three.
That's right. It's another reason why I can't get to some of these other movies that we talk about. Like the other night. I'm flipping around. I'm like, maybe I'll throw in another thing of Westworld here. And Sleepers came on. And I'm like, I love this movie. I'm just going to watch Sleepers for the next hour until I fall asleep. And that's what happened.
I mean, Shawshank's got to be in the top 10.
That's I'm sorry. Did I say seven? Shawshank, seven is on the other side of Jaws. Mm-hmm. My bad. So Shawshank is top five. George, are you any of these movies that we've, these out there movies that we've recommended? Do they crack your top five or 10?
Shawshank, absolutely. They'd be in my top 10. I mean, other movies I would vote for would be Raiders of the Lost Ark, Terminator, Pulp Fiction, absolutely. It's one of my absolute favorites. Caddyshack, Airplane, trying to think of the Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, A Few Good Men, Usual Suspects.
All right, so you're I get it. You're a action movie guy. I get it.
I have 700 DVDs.
That's a lot. That's a lot. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
So, all right, let me rate it in here since we've talked about movies for quite a bit. So I wanted to get to this story that I saw on one of these sites. So the Pirates general manager, Neil Huntington, put both right fielder Andrew McCutchen and infielder Josh Harrison on the block earlier this offseason, and he wasn't really able to find a deal. So it seems like with spring training approaching, Huntington is back into the mix of trying to trade these players. You know, we talked about the Mets potentially heating up with a deal. We see this Brandon Phillips thing. It seems minor, but I think it's indicative of some pieces getting moved around the league. So... your thoughts here about any landing spots for McCutchen. I'll go to you first, Matt, with McCutchen and Harrison. Do you think it's likely that both of these guys will be moved before we get started on opening day?
I think McCutchen has a better chance. I mean, there's just been too much smoke around everything. He's been the face of the franchise. They just announced last week that which is the right move. Starling Marte is going to play center field now. I think he should probably have been playing center field the last 2 years, but due to his status there, where does he end up? That's a great question. I do buy a Andrew McCutchen bounce back this season. I don't think the speed's ever coming back. Could he steal 10 bases? Yeah, absolutely. But I think a 20 home run season. 280 to 300 batting average, that's definitely there for him too. I mean, this guy's only 30 years old. I think everybody's getting a little ahead of themselves. Okay, maybe he's not going to steal 20-plus bases anymore. Does not mean he's not a good baseball player.
Yeah, he's a 59 ADP right now. So we're talking, you know, a fifth-round guy right now. Obviously, just a year or two ago, he's first round and right near the top of that first round. So, George, give me your thoughts, I guess, first on McCutcheon and then whether or not you think this is realistic that he's going to be moved before opening day.
Do I think he's going to be moved? No. I think they would have been selling low on him and still would be selling low on him if they trade now. I agree with Matt. I think a bounce back is coming. I think Matt said, actually. He hit 24 home runs last year, so I think he'll hit 20 again. I think in a different ballpark, he might even hit 28, 30. Because PNC Park, beautiful ballpark, but it's a tough place to hit. The long ball, the ball does just not carry there. So I think his power numbers will be fine. I think he could hit double digits of stolen bases, but, you know, that's it. When I say double digits, I mean he had 6 last year. Sure, 10, 11, 12. I can see that happen. I think the average takes a boost. So I think those fantasy owners that are getting him in round 4, 5, 6 are getting a steal. I don't think he's a first-round pick anymore, probably not even a second. But with third round, I'm looking to grab him. I don't have many issues. I do believe the bounce back is coming. But as far as a trade, maybe it's at the deadline. I just don't think they're going to be able to get it done now, not unless they want to sell sort of 75 cents on the dollar. Too many teams worried about the injuries. I think he does sort of have to prove himself in that direction.
What are your thoughts back, Matt? I'll throw it back to you. What are your thoughts on the Pirates in general this season?
It's a big season for them. And like
78 and 83 last year, obviously disappointing, but...
Well, I mean, we'll talk about another player that I buy a bounce back is Garrett Cole. I mean, he was pretty much injured all last season. Coming into last season, he was one of the highly sought-after starting pitchers. And I buy him bouncing back. Gregory Polanco is a stud in the making. Sterling Marte is a guy that I'm consistently targeting in the second round. You know, mid-teens homers, 30 stolen base floor. And things got to go right for Pittsburgh, because if they start going south, they will be trading guys like McCutcheon, even if they got to take it 75 cents on the dollar or so. And
yeah, so then I'll transition. George, I'll get your thoughts on that in a second. But the other player that I mentioned, Josh Harrison, last year hits 283, stole 19 bases. You know, no power numbers really to speak of. The on base not very good, nor was, you know, slugging percentage, all that kind of stuff. So he's really a decent batting average guy with some stolen bases. What was helpful for Josh Harrison, at least the league that I had him in, is his multiple position eligibility. So he's a guy that he really was helpful in being able to piece it together when I had injured players or when I had guys in and out for a day. So thoughts on Josh Harrison, and I'll kick it over to George.
Well, just like you said, his biggest asset is his flexibility. He can play multiple positions. So he's going to be attractive. He has speed. So at some point, I do believe Josh Harrison will get moved. They have Alan Hansen, who is their second baseman for the future. And Pittsburgh seems to be turning that. It looks like they're going to take this wait-and-see approach for the first couple of months. And if it's not going good, there's going to be some serious moves, with the exception of their high-end guys.
Yeah. Comparing them to the Royals, which appear to be in a similar kind of scenario, do you like the prospects better for the Pirates this season or the Royals?
I think that division is just really... You got the Cubs, who's just locked and loaded. But on the flip side, I think Cleveland this year is pretty much locked and loaded.
Yeah.
And I think Detroit not selling was the best move that they could have made. So pretty much it's the AL and NL version of each team having an uphill climb.
Yeah. So, George, give me your thoughts first on the Pirates for this season. We might have to hit a break, but give me your thoughts first on the Pirates this season. Do your thoughts mirror Matt's in many ways?
Well, I mean, it's all about, first thing you look at is the pitching staff. Can it hold together? Talia needs to take that next step. Nova was very good since going over to Pittsburgh. Can he keep it up? Glass now, same thing. Top prospect. Can they pitch well? Chad Cole was sort of an underrated prospect coming in. Garrett Cole, I agree with Matt. I think he will. We'll turn it around some. I don't know if I'm ever going to view him as a top-tier ace. you know, a Scherzer, Kershaw. Don't look at him like that. More of a top 12, top 15 guy in baseball. But they need their pitching to pitch well, as silly as that sounds. Trading Josh Harrison, I don't know if that makes a lot of sense. You trade Harrison, and what if Kong does get suspended? You know, what if Correa does lock him? What if he gets tarred and feathered over there? I don't know. You know, can you really lose two of your infielders? So I don't know how that's going to work. The outfield, I think, will be great. McCutcheon, Polanco, Marte. Not worried about those guys. That's where the bulk of your offense is going. Harrison is sort of you know, the Ben Zobrist type. Guy can really pretty much play everywhere. So he has value. But if you try and trade him, you're not bringing back a huge prospect in return. He's not that kind of player. You know, like I said, he's a sort of a poor men's Ben Zobrist. I like him. Don't think other teams are going to love him, but he would fill a need. I think, once again, this is a wait until in season. Unless a contender, you know, not the Cubs, they have reserves up the wazoo. You know, if a team like Boston or the Cleveland, they lose somebody in spring training, or someone, Lindor goes out for the year, whatever, someone like that goes out, then maybe you see Harrison gets traded to that. Otherwise, I think we're looking at June, July.
Makes sense. Okay, we're going to hit a break right here. We'll come back for the final segment of the show. It's Mike Blewett, George Kurtz, and Matt Modica on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back. Talking about the Pirates, sort of comparing them to the Royals, mirror versions of each other from one league to the other. So, George, you don't think the McCutcheon thing necessarily makes sense right now, and nor does Harrison. It appears like just... I mean, all three of us, I think, are of the same mindset that this is probably a wait-and-see team. I think they're probably dangling these guys out there to see what kind of a haul they can get, right? Matt, you even said during the break, look what the Yankees were really able to do with all of that, and I think it's given some teams hope that you don't necessarily get held over a barrel when some of these guys are approaching free agency. You can still get some return for it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, once you reach the middle part of the season, if you truly believe that you have a shot to win, and for certain teams, like we say, the windows last a little longer than others. And, I mean, the Yankees, just, I mean, they got a huge haul. I mean, even if these guys don't turn out, that's what you got to put. I mean, that kid Torres, I saw him at the Arizona Fall League, and he looks like he's going to be quite the player. But, I mean...
Listen, you have to trust the process in those scenarios. Exactly. If you're making those trades at the time, you have to evaluate it at the time. Yeah, it may not work out. And guys blow out arms, and guys can't learn to hit at the major league level. But at the time, with all these evaluations going on, you have to trust the fact that you got a bunch of players for a guy that, frankly, one of them you ended up getting right back. whether or not getting Chapman back was the right move, you can debate that too. But so, George, a little bit, you know, do you think it's a little bit of Neil Huntington just kind of try to dangle these guys out there first, maybe be the first one to hit in the trade market effectively?
Well, listen, I think comparing them to Kansas City makes sense. They have to operate differently. Sort of what we've seen with the Tampa Bay Rays, how they operate when they were in contention. Sometimes it's better to trade a guy a year too soon than a year too late. They need to replenish. You know, their window may be closed now, or it's certainly closing. I think they can compete for a wild card spot. No chance on a division. You know, I think they need to rebuild that value. They can't sell light on the cut. You can't sell with 75 cents on the dollar. You know, so you need a full value here. So I think they need to rehabilitate that. I think he might need 2 months, you know, to put up the numbers to show everybody he's healthy. You know, moving to right field, center field, you know, it hurts a little bit, but it's not a major thing. If he can hit, the value will be there. The problem is, you know, last year was a special year when the Yankees got all that for the closers. You don't know if the contenders are going to need an outfielder this year or they're going to want to pay a bounty for it. I mean, yes, we saw the Red Sox go ballistic to get Chris Sale. You know, there aren't too many teams that have that kind of value there, that have those kind of prospects where they can afford to give them up. The Red Sox could, because they're still loaded with prospects. Not every team has that. So, and I think so that the Red Sox are sort of making it difficult for everybody else now, you know, because now the White Sox want just as good a package for Quintana. You know the Pirates are going to want that kind of package for McCutcheon. And that's going to be difficult to come by. There are only, what, four or five teams in baseball that can pay that kind of package. And those teams might be – the Yankees aren't going to pay it, and they're one of those teams. You know, they don't need an outfielder, so it's going to be hard to find a match.
Yeah, but I think financial constraints sometimes, like you were saying, with these small market teams, force them to make the moves sometimes that they really don't want to, but kind of have to. And like you said, getting ahead of the game, you know, maybe if you're not getting the full 100% on Andrew McCutchen right now or in May, June, but you're getting, say, 85, 90, it's better to do it now than next year, you know. You're getting 50%.
You did mention, and this article also mentions, that he is shifting to right field, mm-hmm. Marte coming over to center field. So anybody trading for him, do you think they're trading for him as a right fielder or as a center fielder?
Well, I'll look at a team like, look at the San Francisco Giants. I mean, I think he's a really good fit on that team. Their outfield, I mean, Hunter Pence, I think, is injured again. I mean, he was the Iron Man, and now, you know, as he's gotten older, he's broken down. Left field, they have a huge hole.
There's no
left.
Free lunches in nature, right? And Hunter Pence is paying for it on the back end of his career.
Exactly. And I think the Giants are a team that is built right now to win. I mean,
the Giants have no minor league system. They don't have one prospect to give the Pirates.
They have
more or less three.
I mean,
they're one of the worst in baseball. But
you got to see what you can get. I mean, maybe the Pirates view, what's his name, Tyler Black. Maybe I'm saying it wrong, Blatch or whatever. You know, maybe they view a couple of their guys a little better. You got to try and, you know.
It's not happening. Not the Giants.
Well, I'm just trying to say
the need is there, but they don't have the minor league system.
Okay. A team like the Giants that has that need and has, say, the prospects, I think it's going to get done. Because a team that's going to make that approach to try and get the wild card or seal up the division, you know, there is going to come that need. Players are going to get injured. The fan base is going to get excited. And I think McCutchen's going to go.
Yeah,
he will not be a Pirate.
Yeah. So ultimately, it looks like it's wait and see mode. He was durable. He eclipsed the 150 game plateau for the sixth time in seven full seasons. I think you're both expecting some sort of bounce back. His durability, I think, helps you to believe that in some ways, right? We talked about other players this morning where their injury history is going to impact the manner in which you rate them or overrate them. As you said, George, you're looking for him in the third round and trying to scoop him up each and every chance that you can get, because right now his ADP suggests that he'd be lower than that. We'll see how that progresses. So look, we talk about this every spring training and every preseason in football. We're talking about it a month before the draft start. We feel a certain way, and as draft season really kicks into full swing, that ADP starts to move a little bit.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Would you rather Andrew McCutchen this year or Gregory Polanco? That would be my question. I mean, I'm going to take Gregory Polanco this year. As much as I've loved Kutch, and he's been he's been a warrior for 2017, I want Gregory Polanco.
How about you, George?
I'm leaning the same way, because if McCutchen is dealt, you don't know where he's going to be, even though I don't think the ballpark, I think it can only be better for him. Certainly can't be much worse than PNC. But also, it could be an adjustment period. You know, maybe he gets traded to the American League, and that's an adjustment period. So, I'm going to go with Polanco as well, but it's very close.
So what does that lineup look like? So lay out that lineup for me, that Pirates lineup. So where are these guys hitting? Just keep McCutchen in the lineup for now. How do you see that shaking out?
Sterling Marte is intriguing, because where is he now going to be that middle of the order guy, which I'm assuming he's going to be. He's not the power prototypical guy. Polanco is showing a very nice, encouraging skill set as growth. And for a 25-year-old, I mean, the line drive rate, the hard hit rate, I mean, everything you want to see is going up. So, I mean, are they going to showcase McCutchen? Because they want to showcase him. Is he the three? I mean, I think that's got to play in. And they have, like, some young players, like Kang. I love Jung Ho Kang. I've drafted him a lot already this year. I've gotten backups. I mean, Mike Moustakas is going late, too. He's another third baseman. But is Kang in the lineup? So, I mean, there's just so many questions right now with them. So it's kind of hard to see how they're going to do it.
George, real quick. We got like 2 minutes to go. But real quick on that Pirates lineup, how do you think that it shapes up as these parts could potentially be moving? Where do you think guys are going to be hitting in that lineup? Does this change the impact that these players could have as to where they're hitting? Or where do you think they will be?
Now, I don't worry about this all that much. They're all going to be hitting the top half of a lineup. I do expect Polanco to hit between McCutcheon and Marte, the teams like to do this nowadays, so they split up the lefties and righties to make it tougher on the bullpen. So maybe it's McCutcheon batting second. Maybe it's Marte batting second, Polanco third, the other right-handed batting fourth. Somewhere in that direction is what I expect.
Oh, good stuff. So it was a good show today, boys. Appreciate it. Matt, it was good to have you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Looking forward to having you again in the future. Trying to figure out exactly what days and what times Matt will be in here with us and where he'll be elsewhere on the station. I think we got a lot in today. We obviously talked a lot about the Pirates here late. Got some ideas of closer strategies. You want to go for Chapman, Britton, and Jansen at the top, feel free. I don't think George is going to be doing that. I think George will wait it out a little bit, maybe get a little Wade Davis a couple of rounds later. And so that's it. So 3 hours up and 3 hours down. We appreciate you folks listening. You know, we'll talk movies another time. We're going to talk more about the movies on air, off air than on air, but that'll be good to go. So you know what? One story we didn't get to, and we'll get to it next week, and its impact, is that the Marlins look like they're going to be sold. I don't think that deal is going to get done in the next 6 days, so we'll talk to you on Saturday. Coming up next, it's Fantasy Bagels and Baseball with Tony Cincotta and Cha-Cha. Have fun with that. It's going to be a wild ride here over the next couple of hours. Thanks for Mike Blewett and Matt Monica and George Kurtz. We are the Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at the same time, 7 a.m.